weekend, but how about those?
Yisr Kaplan has yard sale for his father. We dedicate the learning tonight with Zech Nishmas from Bayalei Rebbe Eliyahu. Last week we learned the Gemara. We left off in the middle of the Gemara. Ayin Beis on the Beis, Ayin Gimel on the Aleph. I just want to do one point of Rashi and Tosfos, then we'll go to the next again. The Gemara on Ayin Beis on the Beis quoted a Machlokes Satanayim from the Mishnah in Kelim. There was a piece of cloth that was gimel al gimel tvachim, and it's right, the medrash right to sit on it, right to walk on it, a carpet, let's say. Carpet that's mechubel the karka is not mekabel tuma. The carpet that's not mechubel the karka, a rug, is mekabel tuma. So let's say you have, if you have a chair that the whole weight is resting on it, or you have shoes, or you have socks, or you have, oh, thank you, or you have, let's say, a carpet that people walk on, so that can be mekabel tumas medrash. Medrash hazav, if I'm a zav. So the medrash is an avatuma. Usually when the tuma is transmitted, it goes down a madrega. And here it's an exception to the rule. The zav is an avatuma, and the medrash hazav is an avatuma. So you have this, let's say you have the chair. The chair is a bad example. Let's say you have a cloth, a rug, a little rug. And the zav walked on it, so it became an avatuma. And then it ripped, then it tore. There's no longer a gimel a gimel, but as gimel gimel that's bus, gimel gimel that's bus is enough that it's considered a beggar, it's considered a kli, and it can be mekabel tumah if an adam tami will touch it. So there was a machlokes satanah between Reb Meir and Reb Yosi. Do you say that the carpet, when it was an avatumah, is touching itself? By definition, it's by identity, it's the same thing. So when it tears and it no longer has gimel gimel tvachim, and it's no longer a medrash, do I say, but it automatically has a magah medrash. It's considered as if the beged of gimel gimel atzbois, gimel gimel atzbois 3 inches by 3 inches, was touching the medrash. So a meyer holds like that. The Gemara calls that a form of magah beis hastorim, that the thing is touching itself by identity. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says it's not correctly passing like Rabbi Yossi. The chidei is a medrash, no gazer. It didn't touch a medrash. It tore. It used to be a medrash, and now it's just cloth. Now it's just beged. So it didn't touch. Elishin noga b'hazav shehei tomei maga hazav. If the zav touches it with his hand, or the zav is walking barefoot, so he touches the carpet or the cloth with his bare foot, so that'll be maga hazav. So Rashi writes a little comment, and Tosfos picks on Rashi based on Gemara and Menachos. Rashi writes. What?
What
tumah
is it?
The zav is an avat tumah, so whenever he'll touch a kli, the kli will become a rishon tumah. When the zav, yeah, a maga hazav is a rishon tumah because the tumah is transmitted, goes down. A medrash hazav that he sits on, he walks on, so that doesn't go down. It's not considered that the zav transmits the tumah to the medrash. That's halacha. A medrash hazav is tumah, so that's an avat tumah. It's like a tumah yatzan megufa. If the zav sits on it, not that the tumah is transmitted, it's labeled as a medrash hazav. Medrash hazav is tumah. So Rashi says an example: the zav was sitting on this piece of cloth on the rug on the floor, and it became an avat tumah of medrash hazav. And then the zav touches it with his hand afterwards. So then it became a maga hazav also. So even when you rip it, and will no longer be gimel al gimel tvachim, and no longer retains the tumas medrash hazav, but because the zav touched it also, after he sat on it, then he touched it with his bare hands or with his bare foot. So it's a maga hazav, so the maga hazav only needs gimel al gimel tvachim, so it will remain tummy. So Tosfos picks on Rashi, and they quote a Gemara in Menachos Daf Chaf Aleph, the beginning of the Daf Chaf. What is it? Daf Chaf Dalet. Okay, the beginning, yeah. So the Gemara there has a concept of sovala tuma. If something is saturated with tuma, like we have a din ein isa chal al isa. If something is treif already, so a second isa is not chal on top of it. and saturated with Issa. So we have exceptions to the rule when we don't apply Ein Issa Chalal Issa. So by Tumah there's such a similar din. If the Zav sat on it, or the Zav walked on it, so it became an Av HaTumah, so it has a high level of Tumah, then the Zav touches it, you're going to tell me it becomes a Rishon HaTumah. It's already Tumah, a higher level of Tumah, it's an Av HaTumah. So the Gemara uses an expression, Sovel HaTumah. If the Zav would have walked L'chatchila barefoot on the carpet, on this little rug that's not Mechubel HaKarka, and it would become both a Maga HaZav and a Medras HaZav simultaneously, so that's like we have a din Ein Issa Chalal Issa, the second Issa is not Chal, but if it's Bavasachas, then they're both Chal. So that the Gemara says, that the Rashi has that also, so the Tosfos said that's fine. If the Zav would walk on it barefoot, Yochef, so the Tumas Maga Hazav is Chal simultaneously with the Medrash Hazav. So even when you rip the little rug, and it no longer has Gimela Tvochim, but it still has Gimela Tvochim, so it still has the Tumas Maga Hazav from before. But if first the Zav walked on it wearing shoes, and then he touches it with his hands, or he takes off his shoes and he touches it with his bare foot, so Tosfos claims based on the Gemara that the Maga HaZav is not Chal on top of the Medrash HaZav, because Sovel HaTumah is saturated with Tumah. So I said before we started learning the Gemara, I said that the Balamor and the Ravid learned Bechavrusa together. They were both Talmidim of the Ravid Bal HaEshkol. He was the Rabbein Avram ben Yitzchok. He wasn't, the Ravid's name was Rabbein Avram ben David. And the father-in-law was the Rabbein Avram Abbezin of Narbona. Okay. So then the Ravid married the daughter of the Ravid. The Ravid, Rabbein Avram ben David, the one who wrote on the Rambam, so he married the daughter of the Bal HaEshkol. So they have hasagas on each other's svarim. The Ravid wrote the Sefer Bali HaNefesh, has all the laws of Taras HaMishpach and Hilchas Mikvos. You have hasagas from the Balamor on that. And then the Balamor wrote hasagas on the Rif, on the bottom of the page of the Rif. The Balamor has the Rabbein Zvachya Levi, has a running comments, he disagrees with the Rif here, there, and everybody disagrees with so many things. So the Ravid picks on the Balamor. So in the Sefer written by the Ravid and the Balei HaNefesh Sefer about Taras HaMishpacha, so there's a Hasoga from the Rabbein Zrachi Halevi that no one understood what in the world he was talking about. Something about Shvi Letuma. Yeah, Zion Letuma. There is no such thing as a Shvi Letuma. There's Avi Avos HaTuma. A dead body is called Avi Avos HaTuma. Someone who goes to a funeral, the tumor is transmitted, so he's an Av HaTumah. Then he shakes someone else's hand later on after he goes away, so he becomes a Rishon HaTumah. Rishon HaTumah touches something, it touches Ochel Mamashkim. Rishon HaTumah can't be Metami Odom. Mekelem can only be Metami Ochel Mamashkim. So he touches something, makes it into a Sheni LaTumah. And then in Chulin, that's as far as you go. Then in Truma, you can go down to the level of Shlishi. And then in Kochim, you go to the level of Ravi. And then the Rashi HaMishnayos quotes a big Chiddush. My Parah Adumah, there's a Chamishi. That doesn't say Mishnayos, that Tosefta, like that's as far as you go, that's the end of the line. Chamishi, that Tosefta, no one ever heard of, that the Rash goes. How do you have a Shvi L'tumah? So there's a Hasoga from the Balamor on the Ravid Balei HaNefesh that the whole sentence doesn't read straight, but he talks about a Zion L'tumah. There is no such thing as a Zion L'tumah. So there was a great Goyen in Vilna, same time as Rav Chaim Heuser. He was older than Rav Chaim Heuser. He was born before and he died after. Rav Henoch Hegish. Rav Soloveitchik used to tell stories. The Macheshes, he wrote the Macheshes. Yeah. He writes an introduction to his Sefer. He didn't have the brisker style of learning. He was from the old school. He says he learned by the Beis Halevi. That was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's father, the old style. But he has a lot of brisker style in his Sefer also. He doesn't like the brisker style, too much analytic, but he has a lot himself. So he has a comment on that Hasoga of the Balamor. And the Ravid, he says that it's a misprint. The Balamor writes the following case. A woman had a baby. So a woman has a baby, baby boy, baby girl. She becomes an Av HaTumah. And she's Tameh a Yoledes. It's Tameh either for 7 days, over 14 days. She has a baby boy, she's Tameh for 7 days. She has a baby girl, she's Tameh for 14 days. And then let's say in the middle of the 7 days, she has a Riyaz Dam. So the Balamor says, she doesn't become Tameh a Nida or a Zava now on top of being a Yoledes, it's Sovel HaTumah. So the printer didn't know Shin Beis Ayin Hei, Sovel HaTumah. He never heard of the expression. So he saw Shiva, he saw the number 7, so he wanted to say print. So he wrote Zion instead of Shiva, he wrote Zion. So So the sentence doesn't read, said, no one knew what in the world he was talking about, and they had never heard of it. There is no such thing as a Shvi Latuma. So that's what he said, it's a misprint. The Balamo is just referring to that Gemara, Sava Latuma, and he applies it to that case. A woman, his Yoledis, has already, that's a higher level of Tuma than a Nida. So if she has a Riaz Dam in the middle of the 7 or the 14 days of Yoledis, the second Tuma is not Chal on top of the first Tuma. Okay, that's, I just wanted to add that on. Maybe we did a lot of Tumah V'tah. Maybe we'll leave it out the rest. It's
does it only apply to Midras or other to up to it? Because like when you have a Kli and it comes away from whatever it is, somebody touched it, and it breaks, the Tumah goes away. But you never say anything about the Shavar and the pieces that are left over that anyone is covered because they touched
Because it's not Roy L'Kabal Tumah. Even if you would touch it, it's not Roy L'Kabal Tumah. But here, it was a Medrash, it was Gimel HaGimel Tvachim, and now that you ripped it in half, it's not, it can't retain Tumas Medrash, because it doesn't have the minimum size, but it can retain Maga Medrash. So should I say, because it's more than Gimel HaGimel, it's worse.
Yeah, but well, let's say if the cleave broke, and you have a piece that's you still used, it has some Tashmish, does that remain Tumah?
Yeah. If it was originally a medrash.
No, what was it? I'm talking about a different kind of Tumah. Let's say there's some other kind of Tumah. Thomas Mayes or something, whatever it is.
Maga HaMeis, then it'll retain the Tumah. Yeah.
Yeah,
the only time Shvir HaKli is Metahir, if it's no longer a Kli. But if it still retains the Shvir of a Kli, so the Shvir is not Metahir. Pasuk says if you have clay eights and clay mateches, when they become tummy, you can be toivel them in the mikveh, they become tummy. If you have a klicheris, ein la tar be mikveh. So the chumash says, so what do you do if you have a klicheris and it's tummy? What do you do? So it says the chumash, you smash it, then it becomes tohar. It says also in the chumash, if you have a trefik kli, you do hagola. If you have a trefik klicheris, you can't do hagola, you smash it. But it does mean you smash it, then you can use it for kosher food. Smash it and throw it in the garbage. But by klicheris that's tummy, you smash it and then you can use it. Because once you smash it, it doesn't have a shame kli, so it can't retain tummy. If it's too tiny a piece of a kli, it can't be mekabel tumah in the first place, and it can't retain tumah either. Yeah. So the reason why we were learning Beimam Kasha was they're selling Ben Pekul meat in the New York area, so we wanted to learn what are the dinim. So far we got involved in some of the other things. We didn't really get to the Ben Pekul story. So maybe we'll go till Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. The rest is a lot about Tumah V'Tahara, it's not so Negeir L'Halacha. We covered most of it anyway. We'll learn the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Now we're getting to the Dinim of Ben Pekul. What is the Ben Pekul again? You shech the kosher animal. If you shech the treif animal, it's not chal. Shechita is not chal. I shech the kosher animal, a cow, and there's a calf inside. So the shechita is chal not only on the mother, the shechita is chal on the calf. So there's a machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnah, machlekes Reb Meir and Reb Yudah. Mishnah doesn't say who the Chachamim are, but it's self-understood. The Bar Pluk the Bar Meir is usually a Reb Yudah. So the Gemara is going to say this is a Reb Yudah. So what's the din hashechet? A full-term pregnancy, they're different. There's Behema Gas and there's Behema Daka. So full-term pregnancy by Behema Daka is 5 months. Mm-hmm. And full-term pregnancy by Behema Gas is 9 months. Different animals have different length of time that they have their pregnancy.
Gestation
periods. So the Mishnah says, "Ashechet es habehema, ishech tzekel motzaba ben shmoyna chay yomeis." And inside there's an uber that's loikol alachadosh. It's only 8 months. 8 months is an incomplete pregnancy, so it's not considered a bar kayoma. It's not considered a chay. So whether the ben shmoyna is still alive or meis or it's dead, or inside there's a ben tisha meis, ishech tzekel the ben pekua inside. Why is it called Ben Pekur? Because it comes out from the mother after the mother is dead already. So the mother is the Ben, the mother is the Pekur. And the mother Pekur means something that cracked open. Lafke means to crack open. So the mother's Rechem cracks open and the Uber comes out. After they already shechted the mother. So if the Uber inside is Loikov al-Hadosh, is Ben Shmoyna, either Chay or Meis. Or it's a Ben Tisha, Hadosh, Meis, it's not alive. Then all the Tanoim agree that that's the din of Ben Pekur. But what if it's a ben tisha chai? What if it's an uber inside that's alive? I shech the mother, and the uber jumps out, and it's running around on the grass. So do you say the shechita on the mother is chal on the vlad also? So that's a machlokes. The Reb Meir says, no. The uber inside is a behemu bifnei atzma, and the shechita is not chal. Shechita is only chal if it's a ben tisha meis. because it's not the chai b'fnei atzma. So then it is nita b'shchita sima. It's a little counterintuitive. Shchita is chal on a dead animal. If the uber inside is mace, the shchita is chal. But if the uber inside is a ben tisha chadoshim chai, then ramei holds the shchita is not chal. The chacham disagrees. That same with taharosa, that the shchita and the mother is chal on the uber. So Rav Meir said in Mishnah, if it's a ben tisha chai, how does he say? Moti is dama. Oh, let's go back again. If you have a ben shmoina chai or meis, or ben tisha meis, so the shchita on the mother is chal on the uber. So everything in the uber you can eat, even though there's chalev. There are certain locations in the body where there's fat all over the body, but certain fats are singled out in the chumash that they're osir. You're not allowed to eat them, and isa siris, isa and isa koris. And other fats are called shuman, you're allowed to eat. The exact same fats, if it would be achaya, would be muta. The prohibition of chaylev only applies to beim, it doesn't apply to chay, and doesn't apply to of. So if it's a uber, who's nita b'shchita simo, it's blends in with the mother, and the chaylev is muter, and the giranasha is muter. The giranasha of the mother is asa. I shechted the mother, so the giranasha of the mother is asa. But the giranasha of the uber is muter. Why? Because since it's nita b'shchita simo, so it's considered ke'eva me'evareho. So the giranasha is in the wrong location. Giranasha is only asur in a certain location in the leg. This is not considered the leg. The mother has four legs. This is in the rechem. This is in the womb. It's in the wrong place. Chalev is only also if it's a certain location. Here the chalev is in the middle of the rechen, middle of the womb of the mother. So that's the wrong location. I don't consider the uber as a behemoth b'fnei atzma because it's chal, the shchit of the mother is chal on it. So, but the dam is also. Motzi is damai. The dam is also. That's a question why. If the shchita of the mother makes it that the giranasha of the uber is muta and the chalev is muta, so why isn't the dam muta also? So the Mishnayim gave two explanations. So some Mishnayim say simply, dam is also whatever part of the body you find it. Chalev is only also in a certain location. Giranash is only also in a certain location. So the uber is inside the womb. That's the wrong location. Since we're judging from the perspective of the mother, you don't judge from the perspective of the uber, because the shchit on the mother is chal on the uber. So it's considered as if you have chalev. Let's say you have a mutation. An animal not pregnant. You have an animal and it has a giranash in the middle of the stomach, a giranash in the middle of the rechem, has chalev in the middle of the rechem. So the chalev in the middle of the rechem is mutter and giranash is mutter. It's only also in certain locations. So since there's an uber inside the rechem of the mother, that's the wrong location. So chalev and giranash is mutter. But dam doesn't need any location. Any dam anywhere in the body is also bachil. That's the simple pshat. And other rishonim say that the reason why the dam is also because the mokker and the chumish that the behema, the uber is nita b'shchita simo, was zos habehema shetochelu. Then it says ba behema, behema ba behema, behema inside another behema. So since the pasuk uses the word tochelu, so that only goes on solids that you eat. It doesn't go on dam that you drink. Yeah, it's difficult. Shtiyah is bechalal achila. And dam is not a beverage. Dam is a michael. People who do eat dam, they like a soup. We said many times, Mishnah Brura quotes the Chaye Odam, how much soup do you have to drink in order to say bracha achrayna? How much food do you have to eat in order to say barnefashas kezais? And how much coffee or tea or water or soda do you have to drink in order to say barnefashas or revias? The volume of a beitza or machza kezais is much less. Kezais is either half a beitza or a third of a beitza. But the beverages you have to drink a revi is a beitza machza. So how much soup do you have to drink? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayodam kazayas. Why? Because soup is a michel. Soup is not a mashke. Mashke means a beverage that people think to quench their people drink to quench their thirst. But soup people, it's a liquid food. People are eating a liquid food to fill themselves up. So the word achila does fit it. So the word achila, it's first of all shtiyah is bechlav achila, and secondly, the dam, people who do drink the dam is not a beverage. The goyim do enjoy drinking the dam in the slaughterhouses. They feel that it's more healthy. Rashi HaChumash quotes the Machlokes HaTanaim. It says, Rak chazak l'vil te'achol adam. You have to be careful not to drink the dam. So Rashi quotes the Machlokes HaTanaim. So one Tana says, the Torah has to tell us to be mischazek, not to drink the dam. Even nobody in his right mind wants to drink dam. Certainly, also you have to be mischazek not to do averis where the person has a desire to do the averis. But even for averis where there's no desire, you also have to be mischazek. Then the other pshat in Rashi is no. Rak chazak, the other Tanaim say no. It's a common practice that many goyim in the slaughterhouse enjoy drinking the blood. They'll take a big bucket and they'll collect the dam when you shech it, and then they'll drink it because they believe that it's very healthy. Okay. So it's that pshat is problematic to say that the dam is not included in the heter ben pekud to get anosh and the chelav is because that's a solid, so that's achila. And the dam is a liquid, that's why it's not called achila, it's called shtia, that's a pshatul. The easier pshat is the other pshat, that get anosh and chelav need a specific makam. And if it's in the rechem, it's the wrong makam. But the dam all over the whole body is asa. Dam wherever it is asa. So then the Mishnah said that they all agree. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda don't disagree. Then the next line, Ben Tishachai, even though I shechted the mother and then Ben Tishachai was inside, so Rabbi Meir's opinion is, Ton Shechita, the Vlad requires its own Shechita, it's absolutely not Nita B'Shechita Simo, Chai B'Yosef is Beno, and if you shechted the mother today, and then the Uber comes out, the Uber is a Ben Tishachai, it'll be a biblical prohibition, you're not allowed to shecht the Behema, Osef is Beno, also only applies to behemoth, doesn't apply to oifus, and it doesn't apply to chayas, only to behemoths. The Chachamim is rebuted, disagrees with Rav Meir, they were contemporaries. Shechita simo mitaharos, so the shechita of the mother is chal on the uber, not only if the uber is an eifel, a ben ches, or if it's a ben teschai, it's not a bal chai b'fnei atzma, even if it's a ben teschai, the shechita of the mother is chal. Fine. Shimon Shizuri Yomer Afila Ben Chomishan V'Charish Basada Shchita Sima Mitaharosa. He sounds like he's saying the exact same thing as the Chachamim Yomer. The Chachamim disagree with Rav Meir. They say even though the Uber is a Ben Teschai, the Shchita of the mother is Chal. So he says the same thing. Rashi says the Gemara is going to ask. The top Rashi says Gemara Parich. The Gemara is going to ask. Kind of Tanakama. They said the same thing. That's the Chachamim. Shimon Shizuri says Afila Ben Chomishanim. Even if the Uber is 5 years old and he's been living for 5 years and he's jumping around and the farm is doing all kinds of work, still shechita simon mitarosa, the Uber does not need shechita. So Gemara says, what's the machlokes hatanaim? Is there a din mid the rabbanim mishum marisayin that you need shechita? If you're going to have a behemoth jumping around, it's 5 years old, and then all of a sudden, just going to take a limb and pull it off and barbecue it. So it looks like a seif anachat. So strictly speaking, even though it's running around, it was already chal the shechita of the mother. And there's no isayv menachai, and there's no isa nevela. Everything is fine. You can do that. But mishum marisayin, that's how the Gemara is going to say. If hifris al gabi karka, if after I shech the mother, then the uber comes out and it jumps around. It's walking around. It doesn't have to be walking around for 5 years. If Shim Shizui exaggerates, even if it's jumping around for 5 years, there's no marisayin shechita simon mitaros. And we paskan know that mishum marisayin. If hifris al gabi karka, then you need shechita midirabon. What if he never shechted the mother? What if he just shot the mother, the behema? Let's say the Nochem came and they shot the mother, and then the Uber comes out. That's not a ben pekud that needs a shechita min haTorah. If you shech the mother, then the Uber that comes out later is ben pekud. But what happens if Korah, he rips apart the mother or he shoots the mother? And what's about ben teschai? Ton shechita lefishalai nishchata ima. That's not called ben pekud. So this is the basic din of ben pekud. The parak should have begun with this. See, the parak begins with the exception to the rule. The parak begins, you have a ben peku and it had a limb sticking out, so you're not allowed to eat that limb, and what happens if the limb pulled itself back in before you shechted the mother? So there was machlekas on the first daf, whether it helps or be paskin, it doesn't help. Okay, so the parak began with the exceptions to the rule. Now it gives you the actual din of the ben peku itself.
Could a ben peku be offered as a korban?
It cannot be offered as a korban. Question is, why not? So here there's a machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos. Here the bottom takan is daven. I in dalan on the base, the bottom Tosfos. So the Gemara says, a ben pekua cannot be offered as a korban. Why not? So Tosfos quotes Pirish Bekuntris. Rashi on this daf explains that there's a din of Yotze Daifen. The pasuk says, Shora Kesav Eis Ki Yivalei. If it's born, you have to wait 7 days. Starting from the eighth day on. So the Gemara says, there's a din Many hold it's only with the Rabbanon, some hold it's a Dimin HaTorah. If a behemoth was born, and you don't know whether it's Kol Olah Chadosh or Lo Kol Olah Chadosh, you don't know whether it was a full-term pregnancy or not, if you're Mesupik, so you have to wait till the eighth day before you shecht it. From the Rambam would appear that it is a din deraisa and yoreh, they pass that it's only a din with the Rabbanon. So that din, that if you're Mesupik, whether it was Kol Olah Chadosh, there's such a din by Adam also. Let's say a baby is born, and the woman doesn't know when she became pregnant. She doesn't know whether this Uber was called Olah Chadosh, was it a full-term pregnancy or not a full-term pregnancy. So then if the baby dies soon after being born, so that maybe it was an Eifel, maybe it was considered dead when it was born, maybe it was not considered alive in the first place. So the Gemara says if you have a vlad is born, and you don't, if you know the Adur she called Olah Chadosh, she knows that it was a full-term pregnancy. That's another question. What's the definition of a full-term pregnancy? So in the Gemara, in the early days of the Rishonim, many worked on the assumption full-term pregnancy by a person means 9 full months of 30 days each. 9 times 30. And then in the Shulchan Aruch, there are more paskins that bisman is that whatever was in the days of Gemara is irrelevant. Today, once the woman enters the beginning of the 9th month, that's considered a full-term pregnancy. So let's say the woman knows that she's already in the beginning of the 9th month and she gives birth to a baby, and then the baby dies 2 days later. So then one does observe Avelis. The only time you say there's a Mishnah, the only time you have a din, that if a baby dies within 30 days, the relatives don't observe Avelis, that's any Odusha Kolah Chadosh. You don't know one way or the other. If it's Bivadai Shalak Kolah Chadosh, you know for sure that it was not a full-term pregnancy, then even if the baby survives many months, you don't observe Avelis. It was an Eifel from day number one till the baby reaches the age of 20. Okay, but today, once they have the baby in an incubator and then the doctors release the baby and say it's as healthy as anybody else, then it's considered Bar Kayoma. But if you have a baby is born, any Yodua, we don't know whether Kol Olah Chadosh or not, so then the Gemara says you have to wait 30 days, and if it survives 30 days, then you know that it's Kol Olah Chadosh. Then it's a regular vlad. The Gemara talks about two different types of pregnancies. There's a 7-month pregnancy and a 9-month pregnancy. Yes. So in Shulchan Aruch they say we don't understand what that Gemara is all about. We don't have such a thing. That doesn't correspond to anything that we are aware of today. A 7-month pregnancy. The Gemara talks about a baby born in the 8th month. Was it a premature 9-month pregnancy or postmature 8-month pregnancy? So you can tell whether it has fingernails and whether it has hair. So that's all in the Gemara. So the Shulchan Aruch, they say we don't know what that corresponds to. We don't have such a thing. We only have 9-month pregnancies. And we paskin into the beginning of the 9th month is considered Kol Olah Chadosh. So the Gemara, where did they get this idea from? That when you reach 30 days, then you know that the Vlad is not called the Suffolk Nefil. They got it from the institution of Pidyon HaBen. Why do you do Pidyon HaBen on the 31st day? Because then you know for sure that it's Kol Olah Chadosh. So if that's the reason why Pidyon HaBen is 31 days, what if you have a post-mature baby? The baby was born after 10 months. A big fat baby has a lot of hair and a lot of fingernails and everything. Sometimes the other baby is there for more than 9 months. They still have to wait till 31 days for the Pidyon HaBen. That's Exeris HaKosav. You can't do Pidyon HaBen before 30 days. But the Gemara assumes the reason why is because if you would have a baby would be born and it's doubtful, we're not sure whether it was Kol Olah Chadosh or not, was it full term or not? So if you wait 30 days, then it's a raya that it was Kol Olah Chadosh. So there's such a similar concept over here. The din is whenever an animal is born, you must wait till the, not an animal, but birds, it doesn't apply. Korbanos anoif, it doesn't apply. But Korbanos abeimus, you can't be makriv an animal as a korban until you wait till the eighth day. Even if it's vadai, yodua she Kol Olah Chadosh. Even if for sure it's a full time pregnancy, it's a gzeris hakosav. You can't bring it as a carbon before the 8th day. If you did, it's possible to have it. It's called mechus hazman. You makrev it too early. But the Gemara assumes that the background of that din, why do you have to wait till the 8th day? Because if it would have been a suffix of Kol Olah Chadosh and you would wait till the 8th day, then it would be levar, and the baby is still, the vlad is, the baim is still alive, then it's a birur that it was Kol Olah Chadosh. So in that pasuk, when it says you have to wait till the 8th day till you bring it as a carbon, so the Loshan HaPasuk is Shor HaKesev Eis Ki Yivaleid. So the Gemara says Ki Yivaleid only if it had a natural Leida. Natural Leida means the Rechem pushed out, the womb pushed out the Uber. the cow that gave birth to the calf, it was pushed out by a normal leda. What if they made a cesarean delivery on the cow? So that's called a yotze daifin. So yotze daifin is pasul lahakriv al gabi mizbeach. Because the pasuk says shor kesebeis ki valei pratli yotze daifin. So the Gemara, so Rashi claims that this is also called the yotze daifin. If we shech the mother and after the mother is dead, then the uva comes out. So once the mother is dead, the natural forces are not functioning anymore. So you can't say the mother pushed the uber out. Mother's dead. Mother didn't do anything. So Rashi says, by definition, every ben pekua is always going to be a yotze daifin, and the yotze daifin is pasul lahakrovas karbonis because of the pasul kiivali. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. They have a raya in the Gemara that it's not correct. We'll see soon in the Gemara. So Tosfos has a different reason. When you bring a korban on the mizbeach, you have to do dalar avodas adam leikuv. You have to do shechita kabbalah halacha and zrika. He's supposed to do haktoris emurim also, but that's not miyakev. Let's say the emurim benevdu, they got lost, or nitmu, they became tamei, and you're not allowed to be makar them. So you yotze the korban as long as they did the dalar avodas adam shechita kabbalah halacha zrika. So if you have a vlad as a ben pekua and it's nita b'shechita simo, so you can't do a shechita on it. So you're going to be missing the first of the Dalar Avodas Adam.
You said by Kachim that Shechita is different than in Kachim is Levara Chelach HaGavoa. It doesn't, and unlike Chulin, it's to be Matir.
Right.
So why don't you say that Sfara doesn't apply by...
It's correct, it is, but the Shechita is not... You have to do Shechita. If you just shoot the mother, it's not acceptable. Right. So here, even if you do Shechita, it's like shooting. Because Shechita is not Chal on the Ben Pekuv, it's already Nishchat. It's walking around, it has the status already of Nishcha. So another Shechita is not going to be Chal on it.
Ben Pekua has the status of Nishcha. What if it's 5 years old and it gets pregnant and it has another Ben Pekua?
Oh, so that's what this fellow in Australia wants to raise a whole Ben Pekua farm. So even though there's a din of Marisai Midirabban, you have to do a proper Shechita. So the Gemara says maybe it's a Ben Pekua. Ben Pekua will have to see. Maybe it's a Milsa de Tmiya, an unusual thing, so maybe there's no marisign. Everybody will know about it. Or the Gemara is going to say, you need a shechita and the ben peku only mid the rabbanon, but the hilchas treifas don't apply because mikra din deraisa didn't need any shechita. It's nita b'shechita sima. The mother was a healthy animal. It was not a treifa. So even though the uber later on grows up and it develops to become a treifa, the shechita of the mother was sufficient. So this fellow in Australia claims, it's a question whether the claim is correct or not, so he says that when they rent a slaughterhouse, they have to pay for the use of the slaughterhouse. So the goyim who don't have to do shechit and they don't have to check for treifas, so they can check twice as many behemoths in the course of a day using the slaughterhouse. The Jews have to check slowly to make sure they don't have pegimus on the knife. Then they have to check in between one shechit and the other, they have to check to make sure there are no treifas. They can't check the 1,000 behemoths in the day and then check later on to see if they're checked. They're all going to get mixed up together. So you have to stop and check and stop and check. So by us, it wastes a lot of time. So if you're going to have all ben pekuas and you're going to check all the ben pekuas, so you don't have to worry about treifas, so you won't lose that much time. You still have to make sure there's no pegimus on the sack because you need a good shechita. You need a kosher shechita. You can't just make a superficial shechita. It has to be a kosher shechita.
Ben Pakur, you would also have access to all the
high. Because there's no prohibition of chaylev. Right, no prohibition of chaylev, exactly, yeah.
What about
Gidanoshe? Also, the Gemara says, Ben Atar, the chaylev and the Gidanoshe is muta.
It's all muta. Because we can't
eat time quarters of animals today. Right, because of the chaylev and Gidanoshe. Correct? That's right.
According to the man, the Yomar on the mission that says that Ben Peku is Tom Shechita, then according to that man, the Yomar, you could bring it as a karma?
Yes. Because the Shechita on the mother was ineffective. It didn't have an effect on the Uber. But the way we pass on, like Rabbi Yudah, like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, that a Ben Peku cannot be brought as a karma. Whatever the explanation is, the Gemara said before, Ben Pekua cannot be brought as a korban. Rashi said because it's considered a yotze daifin, because after the mother's dead already, so it's not considered a natural process of birth. The mother's dead. How can you say that she's delivering a baby after she's dead? And Tosfos says a different reason. They don't think that Rashi's right. They say that it's because you're lacking the first of the dalar avodas adam. You have to be able to do a shechita. So the Gemara quotes a memra, Amar Ablaza, Amar Aboshia. This din of Ben Pekua, it's only relevant with respect to the Shechita. Lo hilchu boy elo aliske Shechita bavad. The head, the special din of Ben Pekua gives you a leniency. The only leniency is that you don't have to shech the vlad. There's no isa nevela, there's no isa menachai. It's covered with the mother shechita. So the Gemara wants to know lemutei mai. What is he trying to bring out to the exclusion of what? Should I say the mutei chelba v'gidoi? Should I say the het of ben pekua is only that there's no isa nevela and ed menachai? But the chelub and the gidah nasha is aser. So the Gemara says chelba the mai. Whose chelub is aser? Whose chelub is aser? Ilema, if I should say the Rav Lozar Maraboshi means chelba de shlil, the chelev in the uber, the shlil is the embryo inside the mother. Does he mean to say that the het of ben peku is only that you can eat the flesh, it's not nevela, but the chelev of the uber is aser? Mar says not true. Niflik pligi gezelba machlekes Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah. If it's a ben tes chai, it's kol lachadashim inside. Whether it's nita b'shchita sima is hey machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, whether the chelub and the gid anash is awesome. Whenever there's nita b'shchita simo, so the chelub and the gid anash is mutter. And according to Rabbi Meir, that it's not nita b'shchita simo ben teschai, so the chelub gid anash will be awesome. But Tanya, you have a beferish at Tosefta. Gid anash noig b'shlil v'chel by awesome divi Rabbi Meir. He's talking about a shlil, an embryo, that was a ben teschai. A ben teschai. It was a fully developed uber inside. So it's not nita b'shchita sima, so the chelav, it's a behemah b'fnei atzma, so the chelav and the gid is also, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm heinen doig b'shlil b'chal b'muta. Rabbi Yehuda says, heinen doig b'shlil gid anasha does not apply, and the chelav is muta. Why is that so? V'amar ablazer, amar aboshe, the same Talmud Chacham, the same Amoira, who was the one who made the comment that this machlekes amer Rabbi Yehuda is l'shita sam. Machlekes b'ben teschai. Machlag is not by every ben peku. It's only ben teschai v'halach amei l'shita soy Rabbi Yehuda l'shita soy. So what did he mean when he said the first statement? Amar Ablaz, Amar Aboshia, the special leniency that the Torah gives for ben peku is only relevant with respect to the shechita. There's no isa nevela. There's no isa menachai. You don't need shechita. But it's not relevant to anything else. It is relevant. The machlek zamer abud is relevant for the gid anoshe and the chelav of the ben teschai. It's lishitasim. Elam uz mezagen. That when he meant to the exclusion of chelav the gid, he meant a different thing. Elachelba the gid. He meant a different thing. He's not talking about ben peku at all. Not talking about ben peku. There's a din that gid anoshe is asa. Gid anasha is a certain part of the leg. Fine. A certain location in the leg. So in our Torah, only the gid anasha is asa. And there's a machlekes. What about the chelav on top of the gid anasha? Is that also midirabbanan or not? Or how deep do you only prohibit the gid anasha that's on top of the leg? Or do you have to even take a knife and scrape out the roots of the gid anasha that are in the flesh? So that's a machlokes hatanaim. Elachel but the gid, maybe Rab Lozer and Rab Oshe meant to say that there never was a machlokes. Everybody agrees the chelav and the gid arasa means chelav of the gid. Chelav of the gid. It doesn't fit into the words. Elachel but the gid, and that's what he says at that zicher aser. Mor says not zicher aser. Miflik pligi. There happens to be another machlokes hatanaim whether the chelav of the gid is aser with the rabbanon or not. On the level of the raisa, only the actual gid anasha itself is aser. And with the Rabbanan, there's a machlekes. Maybe we should make a gzeira if we will permit people to eat the chelav on top of the gid. That's not an isa chelav. That's not one of the Torah singles that which locations of chelav are us. This is really shuman. Mikra didn't shuman. But because this shuman is on top of the gid on Asha, so that's why many chach we paskin that it's us. So the Gemara's Miflik Pli, that is also a machlekes Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. This is a machlekes Atan. The Tanya. The whole shuman I get is awesome in the Rabbanan, and you have to cut out the roots of the gid anasha from the flesh. You have to pick out in the flesh the Rav Meir. Beauty says no. The shuman I get is mutter. The chelav on top is mutter, and the roots are also mutter. You just cut straight. You cut off the gid anasha above the surface of the flesh, and that's all. So what did he mean? What did Rav Lazar Rav Boshe mean? Something about Shuman and Gid. What the Shuman of the Gid? He's talking about a regular Behemoth. He's not talking about a Ben Pekua, except it doesn't fit in. We don't know what he means. Gemara says, no, what he meant to say was the following. We once spoke about this. The Rambam in Hilchos Korban Pesach says when you bring a Korban Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to broil the Korban Pesach. You can't just salt it and then cook the flesh or fry the flesh. It says, you have to broil it. You have to broil it dafka with a special kind of a broiler. You can't broil it on a metal broiler because the metal is a conductor of heat. So the fire will broil the carbon pesach and the metal will also do part of broiling. So that's called tzli machmas dover acher. It's only, you have to do tzli yesh. Tzli yesh has to be broiled because of the heat of the fire, not because of the heat of the metal which is going to transmit the heat. So you have to have a special wooden broiler. You have to have a special wooden broiler. So the normally when we buy flesh from the butcher, so they salt the meat. The carbon pesach, you're not going to salt the carbon pesach. You're going to broil the whole thing all together, so all the dam will drip down. But the Gemara says, let's say when you salt the flesh, so you succeed in getting out all the blood. That's only the blood that's in the capillaries will be removed. You have big blood vessels. That doesn't help salting the flesh. You have to yank out the blood vessels. So the Rambam says the same is true when you broil flesh and you're not going to salt it. So you have to yank out the big blood vessels, the arteries and the veins. And the broiling will remove the dam ha'ivarim, the blood in the capillaries, like salting will remove the dam ha'ivarim. So the Rambam says before you broil your korban pesach, you shecht it, you zork the dam, then you have to rip out the chaylev, because you makriv it on the mizbeach, you're not allowed to eat the chaylev. And you're supposed to burn the chaylev before it was broiled. If you broil the chaylev first, then you burn it on the mizbeach, you're not yet in the mitzvah, you have to broil the chaylev raw. Because it's not called reach nichoach. It's only called reach nichoach if it's raw chaylev that you're burning on the mizbeach. So the Rambam says you have to take out the chaylev and burn it on the mizbeach, then you have to yank out the chutei dam. And then you broil the carbon pesach. You're supposed to broil it all together. You're not supposed to cut it up in lamb chops and broil each one separately. Rosh al krol ba'akir bar, the whole carbon pesach all together. And then the Rambam says that after you finish boiling the carbon pesach, then you remove the gid anosha because it's treif. You're not allowed to eat it, and then you can eat your carbon pesach. So the Ravid writes in his style, if I would be there in the Beis Hamikdash and this character, the Rambam would bring his carbon pesach, I would throw it on the floor and tell him he's not allowed to eat it. What are the Meshuggah going to do? He brought this carbon pesach to get on Nasha, he made it all treif. Everything is treif. So it's Taka Taina, he made the whole thing treif. So the Kesem Mishneh, Rabbi Yosef Kar, in his commentary on the side of the Rambam writes, there's a Machlekes Hatanaim later in Per Gid on Nasha, and we paskin that ain't the Gid and B'nai Sintam. The Gid on Nasha does not succeed in giving a treif a tam. It's a blend. It doesn't have any taste at all, and it doesn't succeed in giving a tam into the rest of the flesh. So since there's a mitzvah to broil the whole carbon pesach intact, so with respect to the chaylev, you have no choice. You have to cut out the chaylev. Because if you leave the chaylev in, it'll make everything treif, then you won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah of haktaras emurim on the mizbech if it's going to be broiled first. So you have to cut out the chaylev before. The chutei dam, you have no choice, and it'll make the whole carbon pesach treif. If you broil it with the chutei dam, it makes it all treif. If you broil it just with the blood in it, in the capillaries, then the broiling will substitute for the salting and remove all the blood in the capillaries. It won't get out the blood in the arteries and the veins. But since the Giranasha does make treif, so why not fulfill the mitzvah in the proper fashion? Rosh al Karol al Kirbay, broil the whole carbon pesach intact and remove the Giranasha later. But then the Kesem Mishneh effect Akasha, this is Nicha and the Gidn B'nai Satam. The Giranasha itself, Patnish Kentam. What about the Shuman Agid? Shuman Agid should make treif. So he gives an interesting answer, and his answer is quoted by the Prima Godlim in Yeridaya. Because Mishnah says, if you look in the Gemara later on Tzadik Aleph, it's on Perik Gid Anasha, the Gemara said the Shuman Agid is mutam in Atorah. The fat on top of the Gid Anasha is mutam in Atorah, and it doesn't say that it's even awesome in the Rabbana. The Loshan Gemara is Yisrael Kedoshim Nogabo Issa. The holy Jewish people decided as a minig not to eat the Shuman Agid. You're going to mix up if you permit people to eat the Shuman Agid. Next thing you know, you're going to eat the Gid Anasha itself. So he says, since it's only a minhag, So kedoshim know how gobo is, since it's only a minig. So you have over here a conflict between a minig and a real din. There's a real din, rosh bal krov bal kirba, to brawl the whole korban pesach intact. And then there's a minig that you don't need to shuman agid, and shuman agid is going to make treif. So he says, all year long, we're careful not to eat shuman agid. Once a year, on Pesach night, all the Jews in Yerushalayim eat the shuman agid. Because they broil the korban pesach with the shuman agid. Whatever is left, whatever shuman agid is left after they broil, they'll cut off, they'll remove. But that part of the shuman agid that was nivla into the besar ha-pesach, everybody's going to eat it. Because it's a conflict between a real din deraisa, rosh al-krov al-kirba, broiling the whole korban pesach intact, and a minig. So whenever there's a conflict between a real din and a minig, you have to observe the real din. That's the kesef mishnah. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim regarding the details of the minig. You can't just say, we have a minig, we don't do this, we have a minig, we do this, we do that. The minig has to also go with a mahava. Just like there's a din, dinim derabbanan, called the tikkun rabbanan, kain deraisin tikkun. The chachamim have to pattern all the dinim deraisa along the lines of dinim, all the dinim derabbanan along the lines of dinim deraisa. So minhagim also have to fall into a system. Can't just have a minig in the middle of nowhere. So there's a machlekes hatanaim regarding the minig. Does the minig make sense or not? Such a similar machlekes hatanaim, the first daf in Psochim. So Tosa says, Rashi learned the Gemara has machlekes. Erev Pesach is also b'malacha. So does the Issa Malacha only begin after Chatzos, or does it begin in the morning? So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim. When does the Issa Malacha begin? So Rashi says it's talking b'makom shenagu. The Mishnah says, "Makom shenaga shalol lasis malacha ein oisim, makom shenaga lasis malacha oisim." So Rashi says the Mishnah that machlekes hatanaim when does Yisrael malacha begin is going in also mekamis, but they had a meaning that they don't do malacha. So Taisa says if the meaning is you don't do malacha, so whatever the meaning is, you follow the meaning. So what you have to have a machlekes hatanaim? Ask the people what is the meaning. So Taisa disagrees. The machlekes hatanaim is work on the assumption that it's a real Yisrael medina. It's also Medina to do malacha, either Mederaisa, Mederabana to do malacha, and Erev Pesach. So the Mefarshim explain Rashi, no, it's Mokum Shenago Shalal Asat Malacha, but a minik has to work with the Mahalach also. You can't just have a minik that's nonsensical, it has to fit into the pattern of the halachic system. So here also, there's a Machlekes Hatanaim, Machlekes Habir Rabbeir, regarding Shuman Agid. Adig Marcy Yisrael Kedoshim Nagabo Minik. Nagabo Iser, it's a minig. Machlekes Hatanaim, does the minig make sense? They both know that there's a minig, not the Shuman Agid. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says it doesn't make sense. Rabbi Meir holds with such a minig. Div Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda says that it should be mutter. Minhagim have to make sense also, yeah.
Isn't there a conflict? You even have the mitzvah of an asay, and the minig is also asay. So there should be a greater emphasis on the
asay. Okay. I mean, to broil the carbon pass up Bishle Musa is a mitzvah saseh, so that should be more important than the meaning of aloy saseh. Okay. That's what the Rama holds, that you broil the carbon pass up with the shuman agid. You broil it with the gid anosha also, because the gid anosha will not make a treif. How about the shuman agid will make a treif? The shuman agid only makes treif midirabbanan. And the alternative is to cut out the shuman agid before you broil the carbon pesach. You won't be mekayim the mitzvah deraisa b'shleim musa of rosh al krov al kirba. Supposed to broil it intact together, right? So that in order to fulfill the mitzvah saseh, you have to violate the minik. So that's what the according to the kesa mishnah is diuk in the gemara. The prima gadol quotes of halacha: shuman agid is only a minik, and it's a machlekes Rabbi Meir, whether the minik makes sense. Rabbi Meir holds Shumar Agid is Asr, and you have to cut in deep into the flesh to cut out all the roots of the Gid Anosha also. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, Shumar Agid is Mutter, and you don't have to cut deep in. Just cut off the Gid Anosha above the leg, on top of the leg, and shait. So you can't say that there's no machlokes, everybody agrees, but you get the Chelba the Gid, the Chelav of the Gid. So the Gemara says, what was he talking about? So he said, said over Avort, we don't know what he's writing about. It says, the din of Ben Pekuah is only relevant to Shechit and not to other dinim. What other dinim is he talking? So the Gemara finally says, Eliyit Mahachi Yitma, he must have meant the following. Amr Ablaz, Amr Aboshi, Lahil Chaboy, El Aliska Achila Bilvad, The din of ben pekua only is that you don't need shchita on the ben pekua to the exclusion of what? Lemute rovo v'charishbo. Let's say there's a prohibition on mishka behema. So a person sleeps with an animal. A man or a woman sleeps with an animal. So that's only if the animal is alive. What if the animal is dead? So it's an abnormal practice that a person should sleep with a dead animal, but that's not called mishka behema, strictly speaking. Mishka behema is only if the animal is alive. What if you have a ben pekua which is alive, kicking, running around, kicking, but al pidin it's gishachmish, but it's alive. So that's what he says. Lemute rovo. It's a live animal, and there is a din on mishka behema, and the same thing charish bo. Let's say charish b'shor v'chamor. If you use two different animals, shor v'chamor yachtov, to plow or to pull a wagon, you have a horse and a cow are pulling a buggy, pulling a wagon. So that's an iser of kiloi behema. So what if one of them, what if one of the two is a ben pekua? So al pidin it's geshochten. So al pidin it's a piece of flesh. Yeah, but it's a live animal. There's not a piece of flesh benegiyet. There's no iser of menachai to eat it, and there's no iser of nevela. But it still is a live animal. So that's what he meant. Lehilchabo el aliske achila mevad. It's only considered geshochten with respect to the iser nevela, the iser of menachai. But it still is a live animal. It has all the dinim of a live animal.
Is that midi rising midi rabbanon?
No, minatara. Yeah, pashtus is minatara. Yeah, that's the poshim shot. There is a shita mukubetzes in Bava Kama quotes an obscure rabbeinu Peretz as a chiddush. I think we must have discussed it earlier when we learned the end of the first parak. He has a chiddush that even though ben pekua doesn't need shchita, but it needs nechira simanim and atzamer. If you shoot the ben pekua and it dies, so then it's also b'achila. You have to do nechira simanim and atzamer. Where did he get this idea nechira simanim and atzamer? Because at the end of the first parak, the Gemara says that the hilcha shchita only began mishaber Yisrael asayarden. When they came in Teretz Yisrael in the days of Yishuv Benum, when they crossed over the Yarden, then hilcha shchita set in. And until then, in the midbar, the sar nechira was muta. But mesa me'alehu was aser. If the animal died a natural death, or you shoot it to death, then it'll be aser. You choke it to death, it'll be aser b'achila. The din of nevela was given at Har Sinai. But nechiras is only shchitasa. The Gemara says, when you do, if you have a sharp knife, it can be full of pegimus, you can have a saw. But nidin nechiras imanim and atzava. So there is a concept of nechiras is only shchitasa in the midbar. Does it ever apply bizman hazeh? So that's what this sheet in Kubetz is quotes Rabbeinu Peretz, that a ben pegua doesn't need shchita, because it's nita b'shchita simo, but it still needs nechiras imanim and atzava. The Pashtus in all the Gemaras is absolutely not so. Pashtus is it's considered Gishachten already. You don't need the Chira Siman Menatzam. The Rabbeinu Peretz said this in order to answer Atesis Kasha and Bava Kama. Atesis has a sharp Kasha, so Atesis gives a Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz gave this sharp answer. And the Pischei Tshuva and Yeridei quotes that. He quotes this Rabbeinu Peretz in the Siman about Ben Pekua. But the Pashtus is that's not the accepted opinion. We assume that the Ben Pekua doesn't need Shechita at all. Doesn't even need the chiras imar. But the rabbanon, if it's agabi karka, then mishum marisayin, you have to do a shechita. So the Gemara says that's what he meant. He meant limute rova v'charish boy. It's considered a live animal. It's not considered gishocht minigeit a charish b'shor v'chamor, and it's not considered like a dead piece of flesh minigeit a mishka b'ema. Yeah. What does the Gemara write? Amar Rav Shimon ben Lokish, divri hamate b'chelbo. If you hold that ben pekua, that the ben pekua is chal even at the ben teschai, then not only is the chel of nigerana asher muta, the dam is also muta. Diri ha'oisa v'chelbo, ha'oisa b'damai. So the Gemara says it's not true. It's a b'feirish mishnah. We just had the mishnah. It says korah motzi as damo. It says the ben pekua, the dam is also. We gave the two explanations. So Rish Lakish is very difficult. Even if you hold that the shechita is chal on the uber and the chelav is muta and the giranosh is muta, but the dam is also oisav the dam. So he has takasha. It's enough in the mishnah. Eis Rabbi Yechonah Veishlok. Respect takasha. It says in the mishnah on amiral of korah motzi as dama. Usually on the side of the gemara they give you the mar mekaymus. They give you the cross references. So if it's on the same daf, they don't give you a cross reference. Here it's on amiral. If someone's going to start on Amud Beis, he won't know where the Mishnah is. You got to start on Amud Aleph. They only give you, if it'll be a daf before, a daf after, they'll give you the cross reference. But on the same daf, they're not mechuyev to give you the cross reference. So he, Rabbi Yechonon, says, "How can Rish Lakish say against the Mishnah?" How can you say that? So what does Reish Lakish mean? What he meant to say was, the Gemara says increases. There are five psukim that prohibit dam. Five psukim. What do you need five psukim for? Because there are different kinds of dam. So all dam is also. Let's say I take a piece of flesh, and I never salted it, and I squeeze out the dam. If I eat a piece of flesh the way it is, raw flesh, so that's dam evarim shelo pirish. That's called moel habasa. That's not called dam. There's no use of dam. But if I take a piece of raw flesh, not salted, I squeeze out the dam and I drink it, that's an isa dam, but there's no koris on that. Koris is only on dam halev. There's koris. And dam shanishama yotzeba b'shav shchita, the Gemara says, increases. Rashi and Chumash quotes, and when you start to shecht an animal, so the blood will start to gush out, so it'll be red, then it turns black, then it turns a different color. So Rashi quotes the Gemara there, when it turns colors, you can see now it's the animal is losing its life. So that's a special status of dam shanishama yotzeba. So Reish Lakish just meant to say, true, the Mishnah says that the dam is aser, because the dam doesn't need any specific makom. Dam all over is aser, anywhere in the behemah. But you're not going to have koris on the dam, because it's only koris, it's all an isa deraisa, sometimes there is koris, sometimes not. So if the dam is in the dam hakonus betoch alev, or dam shanashama yotzebo, that'll be aser. The rest of the dam, there isn't going to be any koris. So that's what Reb Zera says. He's explaining Reish Lakish. Amar Reb Zera, loymar Reish Lakish, that's meant to say, he didn't mean to say the dam is mutter. No, that's a Mishnah. Well, he meant to say, well, she'en onish karis. That is no karis. So Gemara says, whose shita is he talking about? Gemara asks, leman ka'amri, the Reb Yehuda, we're talking, Reb Yehuda had the machlekes with Reb Meir in the Mishnah. He shecht a cow, and inside there's an uber that's a ben teschai. So Reb Meir holds that it's not nita b'shchita simo, because it's a beima b'fnei atzma. It's kolo lo chadoshev, it's ben teschai. It's not an eifo. And Reb Yehuda says, no, even in that case, there is a mipasnak rabbit. Even in that case, there is a het ben piku on the level of the raisa. So even though Reb Yehuda says there's a het ben piku, no, again. Reb Yehuda holds as a het ben pekuah, so therefore the chelev is mutter and the gid anosh is mutter. So the dam will be asa, because dam anywhere in the body is asa, but you can't call the dam hakonus belev. The dam that's konus in the lave of the ben pekuah, of the uber, is not superior to the dam in the leg of the mother. Dam on the leg and the mother doesn't have koris. So the dam hakonus belev of the ben pekuah is not going to have koris. And there's no din of dam. When I shech the ben pukur later, al pidin, I didn't have to shech the ben pukur. It's nita b'shchita simo. So true, there'll be an isa dam, but it'll be like dam ha'ivarim. Dam ha'ivarim is an isa deraisa without any koris. The same. Why is the chelev mutter? Why is the gid anoshim mutter? Because you need a specific mokum. So there's no mokum. Dam hakonas belev, the dam that you find in the heart of the animal, that's in a specific location. If you would have waited 2 minutes, that dam would have been removed. The dam keeps on circulating in the whole in the body. But if you shecht an animal, the dam that's nimtza b'lev at the time of shechita, that's also. So the dam inside the lev of the uber inside doesn't count. There's no koris. So the Gemara asks, who is the chiddush within Reb Yehuda's shechita? According to Reb Meir, the vlad is not nita b'shechita sima at all. The gid anosh is also and the chelev is also. The man feg the Gemara, the man ko amri the Reb Yehuda, the chiddush the Reb Zeir is explaining within Reish Lakish is within Reb Yehuda shita. So feg Gemara, lo heil adam atamsis, the Tanya adam atamsis b'asar Reb Yehuda amri b'hi kores. Yehuda holds that this kores, not only on the dam shanashama yotzebo, even after the shama was already yotze, the dam keeps on gushing out from the neck. So that's also adam atamsis also has kores. So what is Reb Zeira interpreting within Reish Lakish that according to Reb Yehuda there won't be any kores. No, but Dama Tamsa also there's no specific mokum for that. So let the Dama Tamsa of the Uber be Yosef. And if the Gemara, Tegemara Rav Yosef Eider Rav Salach Hasidik Hameider Rav Papa, the Gemara is explaining how does Reb Yehuda come to this conclusion that all Dam has an Issa kores, even Dama Tamsa. You don't need a specific location. Because the Chumash says, kol dam lo yisachel. There's a ribui kol. So So the Gemara says, Isle Rabbi Yehuda dam the chol dam. The pasuk says, v'chol dam lo yisoy chelu. So whenever kolecha de mechayv adam ha-nefesh, mechayv adam ha-tamtzis. On a live animal that you do shchita, and there's such a thing as dam hakonis b'toch ha-lev. Such a thing as dam shanu shama yotzebo. So not only is there koris on that, dam v'chol dam, v'chol dam lo yisochlu, even dam ha-tamtzis is also osa, the rest of the dam. Aber kolecha de lo yi mechayv adam ha-nefesh, on an Uber, there is no dam shanu shama yotzebo. You don't need shchita on the Uber. There's now dam hakonis b'lev, the lev of the Uber doesn't count. It's considered as if the heart, as if there were a mutation, and a heart grew in the rechem of the mother. You shechted the mother, so everything is judged from the perspective of the mother. So the heart isn't where it belongs over here. The heart is inside of the rechem. So since you're not mechuyev adam hanefesh, you're not mechuyev adam hatamtzis either. So they say that that's what Reish Lakish meant to say. That even though the Mishnah says according to Abuya the dam is aser, but there won't be any chorus on it. Okay. Because for the chorus, you need a mokum. Yeah. What does the Gemara have a suffix? It says in the margin, this is in Pcheres Daf Yud Beis, the same Gemara, on the end of the first parak in Pcheres. So the first parak in Pcheres talks about Pidyon Petach Hamor. Next to the last parak talks about Pidyon HaBen, and the rest of the Mesichta talks about Bechor Behemoth Torah, that's offered as a carbon on the Mizbeach. So Pidyon Petach Hamor, Shtei Tifte Biseh. If you have a petach hamor, that's a male. The firstborn is a male, a zocher, not an akeva. Then you have to do tifte biseh, dimloy sifte varafter. So what's the din tifte biseh? So the Gemara says there, Rashi quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says there, you can either be paide biseh, let's say the petach hamor is worth $100, and it says only worth $5. So even though it's not at all b'shavio, you can be paide biseh. What if you want to be paide, I have a farm, I have a lot of corn on the cob, I have a lot of wheat and barley and grains and cereals and everything. So you can be paid the bishlokas on cooked vegetables if it's bishavyo. When it says tifte biseh, you have to do pigim petach hamor biseh. That's a chiddush even though it's not bishavyo. Even though it says worth $5, petach hamor is worth $100, that's legitimate. Or if you want to be paid the bishlokas with any other food item, so it has to be bishavyo. So the Gemara has a suffix. What if you have a petach hamor and you want to do a pidyon biseh shalom b'shavio, you want to save yourself money, and you want to use a ben pekua. Ma'olivtes be-ben pekua. So they say, alibah there a me'lo te-boiloch, Reb Meir holds that it's ton shchita. The shchita and the mother is not chal on the Uber if it's a ben teschai. Kiven the yom a ton shchita, say ma'olyahu, of course, tifte biseh. A regular normal sakit te-boiloch, alibah there a bonah. The ganzer shayla is if you hold like Reb Yehuda, the way we paskin, that the shchita of the mother is chal on the Uber, and the Uber is not going to need any shchita. Leave the rabbana. The armor is shchita sima mitaros amai. What's the din? Should I say? And it's not b'shavio. Rashi had time. If it would have been b'shavio, so you can give shlokas sauce, you can give salami, you can give cooked flesh. So the shaila is, it's not b'shavio. So, but the din is tifta b'seh. Given the armor is shchita sima mitaros and kibisur b'dikula, should I consider it leflesh in a dikula? Dikula either means a basket, or tikula sometimes means a pot that you cook in. Should I consider it like flesh in a pot, so it's only good b'shavio? Or dilma kevin the roid v'yozel, roid v'yosi, since the animal is running around. We just said before, it is a live animal. Yechai mishum roveya, and yechai mishum choresh. It's a regular animal. Kevin the roid, it's running v'yozel, roid v'yosi, runs and it goes, it runs and it comes, sekrin ebay. So that's the Gemara Sof. The Gemara says it's a machlokes amaroi. Mazut rama ein poidim, Rabashi ama poidim. Machlokes. Where they can use a ben pekur for the purpose of pidyon petach hamor, tifte biseh, shalom b'shavya. Can you get away if it's shalom b'shavya with a, or do you consider it like bisra b'dikula, like flesh in a pot, that it's only acceptable if you poid the b'shavya? So the Gemara says, Omele Ravashi le Mazrutu, these were the two mandorma who disagreed. So Ravashi says it is good. So he argues with Mazutra. My daitach, where did you come up with your funny idea that it's not acceptable? You cannot use ein poidim be petachamo, ein poidim be bempeku. Why not? The Gamre says mipsochem. You think you want to learn exer shabbat? Just like a korban pesach, he cannot use a bempekua That's what he raised before. Why not? So that was the Shaila. Rashi said because it has the status of a Yetzi Dofen, because Leida means when the mother pushes out, the mother's dead, and then the Vlad comes out, that's called the Yetzi Dofen. And Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos said it's not, they have a proof that it's not a Yetzi Dofen. And Tosfos says the reason why, because he needs Shchita, the Korban Pesach, he needs Shchita, and this, he can't do the Shchita, the Shem Pesach. So should I say, where did you get the idea from that he can't use a Ben Pekua for Pidyon Petach Hamor? You think that you want to learn how to Gzeres Shavos is Mipsachim. So just like by Korban Pesach, a Ben Pekua is no good, so too by Pidyon Petach Hamor. So carry over the Gzeres Shavos, all the details in Hilchos Korban Pesach. A Pesach Shavos Shnasa is no good. Korban Pesach has to be before the first birthday. Pesach Bash Nasa, before it's 1 year old. If it's already 1 year old, after the first birthday, it's already no good. It has to be male. It can't be a female. You can't have any mumim. So you're going to tell me that Tifta B'seh has to be a male, seh, and has to be before the first birthday, and it can't have any mumim? Nah, that's ridiculous. So the answer, Malhan, it can't be. So the answer is Tifta, Tifta Riba. It says Tifta B'seh, V'mloi Sifta Barafta. So the word Tifta is written twice. It's really unnecessary. It should say, so tifte tifte riba yemarbi, even in a keva is good for pidyon petach hamor, even if it has a balas mum, and even if it's more than 1 year old. So the tain is tifte tifte riba. Once you say like that you're not learning out the gzeres shavos, has to be tifteh for the purposes of Pidyon Petach Hamor, have to be exactly the same as Korban Pesach. Not exactly the same. Once they're not the same, I feel called Mili Nami, let it be good. Even a Ben Pekur should also be good. So he tines back, Mazur to tines back, no. And Cain says, no. There is a Gzera Shava says, and we tone it down. Usually, Ein Gzera Shava Lamachza. Usually, when you have Gzera Shava, you say all the dinim are exactly the same. But there you have Tifte, Tifte, Rebo. So you marbe. These things that Zachar and Tamim and Ben Shana, those are details in Karbanos. That shouldn't apply to Pidyon Petach Hamor. Pidyon Petach Hamor is not offered as a Korban. You give it to the Kohen. Pidyon Hamor Tifta B'Seh, you give the Seh to the Kohen and it's Behemoth Chulin. Yishech Tzeri uses it. So it doesn't make sense to make a difference between a Zachar and a Keva in Karbanos. A Korban Chatos has to be in a Keva. A Korban Oila has to be a Zachar. A Shlamin doesn't matter, Zachar and a Keva. So some Karbanos have to be Davka Zachar. Some Karbanos have to be Davka and Keva. So Korban Pesach has to be Davka and Zachar. Not supposed to have in a Keva. And then different Karbanos, some of them have to be before 1 year old, some of them have to be before 2 years old, some should be after 2 years old. So, and Tamim is a din, shouldn't be a Balmum. So these three, Zachar, Tamim, and Ben Shana, these are details in Karbanos. So that's when we say Tifte, Tifte, Riba, for the purpose of Pidyon Petach Hamor, you don't say the Gzeres Shavos says, learn everything out from Korban Pesach. But that it should be a set that is not Geshochten. That if it's a Ben Pekut, it's a Vedi Geshacht, and so that we do learn. That's Mazutra, hence you should learn out the Gzeres Shavos. Tift is only for the other details, but not for the basic issue that the Ben Pekut shouldn't be good. Now the Gemara has a new Shaila. If you have flesh that's Geshacht already, so it's Roy Lachila Sodom, so it could be Mekabal Tumah. If Rodom Tommy touches it, it'll be Mekabal Tumah. So the Gemara wants to know, Iboilahu Mao Limnas Boy Rishon Visheni. What's the shaila? We shechted the mother and the Uber is inside. And then shecht the mother, the shechita is chal on the mother. So the mother is not flesh. A live animal is not roi l'kabal tuma. Once you shecht the mother, it's roi l'achilos adam, so it's m'kabal tuma. Even if you haven't salted yet, you don't want to eat it the way it is, but still, it's oichel, it's roi l'kabal tuma. Either Pasuk says that oichel is only b'kabal tuma if it had hechshe mashkim, you have to rinse it off with one of the zayin mashkim, either water or the yad shach adam. So we had the Mishnah, I think it was in the first parak. When you shecht an animal, so the dam shchita is machshav v'kabal tuma. Unless it's going to be a rare case, shachat v'lo hoitzi dam. That's very rare, never happened. In a million years, not going to happen. You're going to shecht an animal. The Gemara calls it here, the top line on Ayin Heim Al. The Gemara calls it shchita yeveshto. If you have a shchita yeveshto, you shecht an animal totally dry, no blood is going to come out. How can it be no blood is going to come out? A whole bucket of blood is going to come out. It's impossible to shecht without dam. So theoretically, it is possible. But Lamaisa, there's always going to be done. So the shot is like this: I shecht in the mud, and there's a bempeku inside. So why is a bempeku nita b'shchita sima? It's considered one goof. So let's say I have a big steak, and Adam Tommy touches the end of the steak. So there's a rule. Let's say this is the steak. So we have a rule: maga de miksosa ke maga de kula. If I touch one end, the whole thing is one unit. Let's have a long Italian bread, and Adam Tommy touches one end, so the whole thing, he's, let's say, an avatuma. He makes the whole Italian bread into a rishon l'tumah. What if somebody sliced the bread? They have slices. So the Adam Tommy touches the first slice, only the first slice becomes a rishon l'tumah. The first slice is touching the next slice. So you discuss, maybe the first slice makes the second slice into a sheni l'tumah. But you can't say, magabim k'tosek, k'mabakul, is two different pieces. So that's when the Gemara has a suffix. The mother and the uber is nita b'shchita simo. So the mother is, once you did shchita on the mother, and there was dam shchita, so the mother is huksha lekabel tumah, so mother is mekabel tumah. So when an adam tumah is going to touch the mother after you did the shchita, and the mother becomes, let's say the adam tumah is an avat tumah, and the mother becomes a rishon tumah, is the mother metame the uber as a separate piece, like sliced bread? So the first slice is metame, the second slice, it goes down to a sheni. What do you say? No. Since it's muta b'shchita sim, I treat it as one big unit, kiguf echad. So I say maga b'miksasa k'maga b'kula. He said the tumah is chal on everything.
By hechsher, how much of it has to touch the wood? Also, if here, does the neck touch the damshchita?
A little bit. Let's say I have an apple. I didn't rinse the whole apple on the outside. While the apple was hanging on the tree, it was raining on it for a long time. But it's not mekabel tumah when it's attached to the tree. It's not mekabel hechsher either. But once the apple is plucked off in the tree, so if you wash off one side of the apple with water, even though the other side was not hechsher, the whole thing, even though the other side was not rinsed off with water, the whole thing is hechsher. So here also,
is there any shear with that, even a little bit?
I think even a little bit. I don't think there is a shear. I'm not familiar, but I don't think there is a shear. So the Gemara suffix is, boy lehu malim nesboy rishim isheni. They treat the goof of the mother and the goof of the uber as two different goof. But they say, no, it's nita b'shchita sim, because I treat it as if it's one unit. So it's vayta machlekes abyechana mishloga. Abyechana malim b'rishim isheni. It's considered two different goofim. So you don't say magabim k'sosek magabim k'uloi. When the Adam Tamei, I touch the mother, so the whole flesh of the mother becomes Tamei. Then now the mother is touching the uber, so the uber, the tumor will be a madrega lower. Whenever tumor is transmitted, it goes down a madrega. That's called all the same, lavka yetzibayim, the first daf in Bava Kama. When the tumor is transmitted, it always goes down. So Rabbi Yechon holds it goes down a madrega. It's considered two gufim. And Rish Lakish Amar, ein manam arishim isheni. Why? Nase kegas hamis kashkesh. Bikli pasoi, the uber inside the mother is one goof, like you have peanuts. The peanuts, you can shake them inside the container and they're loose inside. But he says, since there's a shell on the outside, it's considered one unit. So he also, the uber with the mother, since it's nika b'shchita sima, is considered one unit. Frag the Gemara, kasha, esrei shlokish rab yechon. He's going to prove that it's one unit, it's not two. Why? Pasuk says, habasar. That was the machlekes satanam you had before on the El and Afayim base. There's a ben pekul and tenuba sticking out, and you shech the mother. So the shechita is not going to be. Why is the aver that's protruding also? Because the pasuk says, "Obasa vasada treifah lasachelu." So we said, "Treifah is also wherever, but you're a basada." Why do you say basada? Treifah you're not allowed to eat, and basada is a reference to another zizo. Whenever the flesh is chutzlim chitzasa, so if you have kachim, kachim outside of the azara, kachim kalim outside of Yerushalayim, and the aver outside of the rechem of the mother, that's considered chutzlim chitzasa. So the shechita of the mother is not going to be chal on the aver hayotze to be matarid b'achila. It's going to be asa b'achila. But it's in the same pasuk, basoda, together with treifa. So whenever you shech the treifa, the shechita is chal to be matar midei nevela. So this was the machlekes. We spent a lot of time on that. That was the machlekes of Rabbeinu and the Chachamim. So the Chachamim hold, when you shech the mother, the eber hayotze has a din like a treifa. So the shechita mother is chal on the whole uber that's inside the mother, lahatir b'achila. And the shechita on the mother is chal on the eber hayotze partially. It's chal l'tahara midei nevela, but not lahatir b'achila. Rameh said that's impossible. How can you say the shechita is chal l'chatzoy? Shechita on the chelik that's inside is chal legamre, both lahat ba'achila and the time they nevela. And the shechita on the eber hayotze is not chal at all. So that was the machlokes. Fine. So the Mishnah is recorded there. Abasa maga nevela dibra. Meir holds when you shech the mother, so the eber hayotze is nevela, and the eber hayotze is touching the eber inside, so everything is maga nevela. V'chacham amamim maga treif hashchuta. So the Gemara says, "Bishleima lididi, Rishlokish holds that the mother with the uber is one goof. The amina chad goofu, the mother with the uber is one goof. Haina di iskasha behema, haina di iskasha bedama di imei." The Gemara says, the Mishnah said in the end of the first parak, when you shecht an animal, so the dam shanashama yotzeba is one of the zayin mashkim. The idea behind the zayin mashkim is that the food before you rinse it off is dirty. You're not supposed to eat an apple or a pear or a peach without washing it off. When you wash it off, now it's clean, then now it's right lachil. It's a little bit, doesn't make sense. If you wash it off with dam, before you wash it off with dam, it's not right lachil. Now you wash it off with dam, now it's right lachil. But that's exeris hakosel. Okay, but the idea, theoretically, the idea behind it is that the fruits and the vegetables, the food, before you rinse it off, it's dirty. And after you rinse it off, even though you rinse it off with dam, so now it's not dirty anymore, now it's clean. So the Mishnah had the din in the first parak, yeshech the behema, and dam comes out. So dam shana shama yotzba, that's machsha. So that's machsha the mother. What's machsha the vlad? So if you say it's one big goof, the mother with the vlad is chad goofa, that's how Rishlokish holds chad goofa. So that when the mother had a little bit of dam shana shama yotzba by the neck, that's machsha the mother with the uber. But if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's trey goofa, the mother is one goof, the vlad is another goof. So bishleima, the mother was suchsha, that's what he argues. According to my sheet, the amina I claim chad gufa, the mother with tuber is one guf. Haina diskasha bedama diime. Just like the mother was become huchshe lekabel tuma when you shechted it, so that dam is machshe the uber is also is one big guf. So there's a little bit of dam by the neck of the mother, so everything is good. Ela lididach, but according to you, that it's trei gufe, the uber inside is a separate guf, but my is kasher. How is it Huchshe Lekabel Tume? So Rabbi Yechanan answers, you're right, that the Hechsher on the, let's say you have a big apple, and you washed off one side of the apple, so the whole apple was Huchshe Lekabel Tume, even the other side there was never Huchshe. But if you have two separate apples, and you rinsed off one of them, the Hechsher on the one doesn't help on the other one. But Rabbi Yechanan says, but the shechit on the mother was chal on the uber. That's the gzeres hakosav of ben pekua. And there was a machlekes hatanaim in the Mishnah when you shecht an animal velo yotza dam. No dam comes out at all. Is it huchshe lekabel tuma or not? So we paskin, no. In order to be huchshe lekabel tuma, you have to have one of the zayin mashkim, yad shoch adam, is the Rosh HaTevis. So if you would have, it's never going to happen in a million years. If you have a shechita yeveshta, the Gemara calls it a dry shechita, there's no dam at all. So we would paskin is not huksha. Huksha means you have to pour one of the zayin mashkin. But there is the opinion of Reb Shimon, who shita. Reb Shimon's opinion is that shchita is machsher lechol. So shchita, since the shchita and the mother is chal on the ben pekua, so shchita even without them. What's the whole idea behind heksha mashkin? Before you rinse it off, it doesn't have a shem oichel. And after you rinse it off, it doesn't have a shem oichel. When you shecht it, that gives it to shem oichel, makes it muta b'achilos. Since the shechit on the mother is chala on the uber, it doesn't matter chad gufa, trei gufa. Even if it's like Rabbi Yechanan, that it's trei gufa, but that is the pasuk, that the shechit on the mother is chala on the uber. So that's what he says. Amalei, so Rabbi Yechanan says back, b'shechita uke Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon's opinion was, in the end of the first perek, that even if you have a shechita yeveshta, that's dry, no dam came out at all, the shechita itself gives it a shem oichel. Freg di gemara, esvei Rabbi Yechanan l'Reish Lakish, over b'nohor, what's this? This is a ben pekua, Rashi writes. Over b'nohor, you had a shechta the mother, and that was a ben teschai, and now it's prancing around, it's running around for a couple of years. So, the ben pekua doesn't need any shechita. It's a shtik flesh. But it needs heksha. Does it need heksha lekabel tuma? And they say when I shechted the mother, it already was huksha lekabel tuma. So according to Reish Lakish, it was huksha lekabel tuma when I shechted the mother, because it's chad gufa. So the dam that was machsha the mother was machsha the uber. It's chad gufa. So Rabbi Yechanan quotes a brisa that contradicts Rish Lakish. Brisa says, "Ova b'nohor, if you have a ben pekua, they walk through a river, so huchsher, it becomes huchsher lekabel tuma. Until it walks in the river, it's not droy lekabel tuma. It's a shtick flesh, it's already geshachtene, ben pekua is geshachtene, it's walking around, it's a shtick flesh, but it never had any huchsher lekabel tuma. Then halach lebeis akvaris, if the ben pekua, a not live animal is not lekabel tuma, but this animal is considered geshachtene. So these tanoim, we don't paskin like this. We paskin that just like the ben pekua is a live animal and there's a din of mishka behema with it, you don't say it's geshachtene, it's dead. And just like there's a din charish b'shar v'chamor, if you're going to have the ben pekua with another kind of an animal, pulling a wagon, that'll be kilayim kilayim daraisa. So too, it's a live animal, bottom line, it's a live animal, it's not mekabel tumah. The Gemara is going to quote on the next stop. It's a live animal, it's not mekabel tumah. But these tanoim, this price holds, that since it's geshachtene, so it's mekabel tumah, but it needs hechsher. So over b'nohar, it's mekabel, over b'nohar is huchshar, because of the water, then halach beis akvaris, if the ben pekua runs in a cemetery, so it becomes tummy. Nitma, so he says, b'shleimu li didi, if you say like me, that the mother in the uber, trei gufei nina mishmachi huchshar en lo huchshaloi. So that's why you understand, even though I shechted the mother, and the mother was huchshar with the dam, but that's only on the mother, that's not machshar devlat. But if you say like you, Rish Lakish said, "Dama chagufu, it's kasha b'dama deimei." When you shechted the mother, so the dam that came out that was machshah the mother, it's all one group, so she machshah the vlad also. So Rish Lakish is contradicted by a brisa. So he answers back, and the more we're talking b'shchita yibeshet, the brisa is talking about the highly improbable case. He shechted the mother, no dam came out at all. So the mother was never huchshah lekabel tumah. If you would have held like Reb Shimon, the Tana that he mentioned before, Shimon holds that the Shechita gives it a shame oichel, even if no dam comes out, you don't need Hechsher Mashkin. Shechita itself gives it a shame oichel. That's the din, let's say, korbanis on the Mizbeach, are mekabel tumah without any Hechsher. You don't have to rinse them off in advance. Why not? So the Gemara says, because it's machol shel haMizbeach. It's called machol shel haMizbeach. Chibas HaKodesh Machshir Asim. So what is Mechibas HaKodesh? It's called Machol HaShalom Mizbech, even without any Hechshon. So that's what Reb Shimon holds. When you shecht an animal, even if no dam comes out, you don't need Hechshon Mashkim. Shechit itself gives it a shame. So this brisa goes against Reb Shimon. This brisa holds only the dam as Machshir, and there never was any dam. The mother was never Huchshon, the Vlad was never Huchshon, neither was Huchshon. But if there would have been dam, and the mother would have been Huchshon, it's Chad Guf according to Rish Lakish, and the Vlad would have been included also. Then the Gemara says, but not everybody agrees to this brisa. The brisa is working on the assumption that a ben pekua is alive and kicking, walking around, and you pour water on it, then it goes to the cemetery, it's mekabel tumah while it's still alive. The Gemara says, man tana ove benor huchsher hol beis akvaris nitpa, Rabbi Yechon beis aglilihi, it's a machlokes hatanoim. Other tanoim say, no, live animal. It's a live animal for raveh, it's a live animal for Lasachsim Shar Bedisha, it's a live animal for Chorish B'Shar V'Chamar Yachtam, so it's a live animal, it's not Mekabotum. I was going to say, that's a Machlokes HaTanaim. Whether, same thing by fish. When you catch fish out of the river and they're still alive till they start to dry out, if you throw it back into the river right away, it'll still survive, so it's not dead yet. But you're allowed to eat it the way it is, there's no Yisei Menachai. So that's going to be the Zelba Machlokes. You have an animal where there's no Yisei Menachai, you can eat it the way it is. Have a ben pekua minatar. You can yank off a leg and eat it the way it is. You don't need. It's not even told the chira simanim minat saver. So that's a machlekes hatanayim. With a live fish, a live animal, ben pekua, but you're allowed to eat it. Is it mekabel tumah the way it is? It's called doichel. They say no. Live animals are not mekabel tumah. Period. So that's a machlekes hatanayim. Okay, we'll stop here. Igmar Chagiga tells about the Tana. Elisha ben Abuya, he was the Rebbe of Rav Meir, that he became an apikoros. Very unclear what happened, but he became an apikoros. So the Gemara says that, and then later on they were trying to get him to do tshuva, and he didn't do any tshuva. So he heard a baskol, he once passed behind the Beis HaMikdosh, it was after the Churban HaBayis, he passed behind the Beis HaMikdosh, and I heard a baskal calling out to the Jewish people, Shuvu Banim Shavavim Chutz Me'acher. They used to call him Acher, the stranger. like he broke away from Klal Yisrael. He was such an apikoros, so far gone. So he said he heard the baskal that said tshuva banim shavavim chutz meyachav. By him, tshuva is not going to happen. He was so far gone, wouldn't help. So years ago, Rav Soloveitchik used to give the Yortzeit Rosha and Gimel Shvat. And I remember a few years in a row, I don't know, he had this, he was talking a lot about Elisha ben Avoya. I think 2 or 3 years in a row, the Chela Agora was about Elisha ben Avoya. So I remember 1 year, he suggested, he doesn't believe that the Baskol said that Tshuva helps for everybody except for Achim. So he said, in today's Sedra, you have a din, if you own a farm in Eretz Yisrael, you have a house or a farm, it can either be a stei achuz or a stei mikne. Stei mikne means I bought it from someone else. I didn't get a birusha from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and they divided the land. When it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yaival, it's going to go back to whoever should have owned it, birusha. Then it's a stei achuz, it means I'm not going to have to surrender it when it comes Yaival. I got a birusha from my father, grandfather, all the way back Ad Yeshua ben Nun till the days of Chalukas Ha'aretz. So there's special rights and privileges if you have a stei achuza in Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah has a din. What if a person has a stei mikne? He bought a farm in Eretz Yisrael and he donates it to the Beis Hamikdash. So he can't donate more than he has. So he only owns it till Yom Kippur Sheyavah. When it comes Yom Kippur Sheyavah, it goes back to the original owner by whom it was a stei achuza. So when he donates it to the Beis Hamikdash, the Gizbar can only auction it off and sell it to the highest bidder that they should keep until Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. Then it goes back to whoever the original owner was. He can't donate to Hegdish more than he had himself. But what if he has a Steh Achuza and it's going to be his Leon Levod? He's not going to lose ownership when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. So it says in the Chumash, if he'll be paid it back from the Gizbar is good. And then the Pasuk says, Im lo yigalas asod, if the one who is Magdish is not paid it, and the Gizbar sells it to a stranger, then when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, it's B'schalekas L'Kohen. He kisses it goodbye. You donated it to the Beis Hamikdash and it belonged to you completely because it was De Achuza. So you don't get it back when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. Is that possible over here somewhere? So the Gemara has a din. Gemara has a din in Maseches Erechin, it's in Yesh Neuchlin, about Hilchas Yerusha. There's a din that the child yarshins from the father. The children are the closest relative. Then there's another din, Haben Kom Tachas Oviv, Haben Kom Tachas Imam. It's not really a din of Yerusha. Let's say there's a din, my father was a Nazir, and my father set aside Karbonis to bring at the end of the Zman of the Nazir. It's a Nazir for a year or two. And he set aside Karbanas, and he died before he had a chance to bring the Karbanas. And I happen also to be a Nazir. So my father set aside the Karbanas for his Naziris. So it shouldn't be good for me. So the Gemara says, Halacha l'moshe Messina, Haben Megaleach al Naziris Aviv. So then Haben Kom Tachas Aviv. You can't say he Yarshins. What's going to help? He's going to Yarshin. But the Karbanas was set aside for the father. Wasn't set aside for me. Or there's a din, if a man dies and leaves no children, the wife needs chalitza. If he leaves children, so that ben kam tachas aviv liyibum, that you don't need yibum in such a case. Not a din of Yerusha. What do you mean? He yarshins the father as if the father's alive. Father's dead. He's not alive. It's a din. Haben kam tachas aviv. Haben kam tachas aviv. So the Gemara has other dinim, haben. So one of the dinim is haben kam tachas aviv listei achuzam. That's the pasuk. Towards mamish the end of Chumash Vayikra. If the one, the original owner, is not paid at the field from the gizbar, the machas hasadeh leishachad, the gizbar sold it to a stranger. Lo yigalo. So the Gemara said the word ish acher has the connotation la acher below lebei. The son is not called acher, and acher is not called the son. These are two words that are opposite direct. One is from the right, one is from the left. So Rav Soloveitchik said, this was a drasha satanoim. The tanoim had a feel for the language. Leish acher v'lo lebein. And if it says, shuva bonim shavavim, it means bon bein v'lo yacher. So the baskol only said, shuva bonim shavavim. So he understood, just like acher v'lo bein, so we say banim v'lo yacher, and he alein get paskin davzich that he's an acher. He decided. So Rav Soloveitchik said there is no such thing. No one is an acher. No, even if you think he's so far gone, he did so many averes, no tshuva is ever going to help. You're wrong. Tshuva helps everybody. Tshuva bothers everybody. I feel that when the Jewish people sin, it's still called banim lamakam. One time holds bisman she'osim ritzonu shamakam. We're called banim bisman she'osim ritzonu shamakam. Called avodim. We don't accept that opinion. Gemara has machlekes on me'er avudim, but we assume even if we sin, we're still called banim. And tshuva banim shavam goes on everybody. He said that the Baskol never said that tshuva isn't going to help for him. He made a drasha, a gemara tana. So just like they had a tradition. Lishachav alo lebein, say nei the drasha bein melech, and at alein avzich get paskan that he's an achel. Shouldn't make our own drashas like that. Later next week we'll talk about Inyan Shavuos. Okay.